In 1985, Microsoft released Windows 1.0, and on it was a revolutionary product called Notepad, which was software designed to promote the use of a futuristic new device called the mouse, and it allowed people to write text and code without keyboard-based tools like VI. And Notepad was so perfect that it's hardly changed in the 40 years since then, and it comes standard on every Windows distro, including Windows 11 today. That is, until a few days ago, after Microsoft product managers ran out of things to ruin with AI, so they set their sights on Notepad, which will now have an LLM baked into it to generate and rewrite text. In addition, the nostalgic Microsoft Paint is also getting an AI facelift with generative fill and erase features. No software is safe from AI anymore, but that's not the only developer tool that has changed recently. And today, we'll look at 13 life-changing changes that change the way you change the world as a developer. It is November 11th, 2024, and you're watching The Code Report. One of the most hated big tech companies out there is Adobe, but to their credit, they just gave AI its iPhone moment by announcing a tool that's actually cool and useful. It's called Project Turntable, and it allows you to take a 2D vector graphic and rotate it in 3D to view the original graphic from new angles.
And then I can just rotate the shape by simply dragging the slider.
If this thing actually works like they say it does, it'll become far easier for the average person to create custom graphics and animations without the need to hire an annoying human artist. But all roads lead to the web browser. And a few months ago, Google announced it was putting Gemini Nano on the Chrome browser. In fact, you can enable it right now with a flag in your Chrome settings, then go into the browser console and access this global AI object to do LLM stuff with JavaScript where the model runs on device. And Google is running a hackathon right now with real money prizes to see who can come up with the best AI slot for your browser. Now, before you start to panic, this video is not entirely about AI. However, the biggest announcement came a few days ago when GitHub Copilot announced support for multiple models. It not only supports GPT now, but can now also run Gemini and Claude. That might wreck a lot of AI code editor startups, but GitHub also released a weird new tool called Spark. Basically, it allows anyone to build their own little mini application with natural language. GitHub will not only generate the code, but also host and deploy it. And that's a game changer for non-programmers who have dumb app ideas that they can't code. But Spark reminds me of an even more impressive tool from the team behind StackBlitz called Bolt. So StackBlitz has been providing an IDE in the browser for years, and they've also developed a technology called Web Containers that allow you to play with server-side code in the browser thanks to WebAssembly. Bolt combines those technologies together to use AI to develop and preview full applications in the browser with a single prompt. Like here, I asked it to build an Angular flashcard app, and 30 seconds later, I have a full working demo that I can use in the browser. And I can actually download all the code and use it to start my own project. That's cool and all, but I still like to write my code the old-fashioned way. And my favorite JavaScript framework, Svelte, got a major update with Runes. I made a whole video on that if you want to learn more, but Next.js also just released version 15. When Next.js first launched its half-baked app router a couple years ago, it had opinionated defaults about caching to optimize performance. Unfortunately, that was a bad opinion, and now they've changed the framework to leave routes uncached by default. And they even stole my trademarked 100-second format to make a video about it, and that means they'll be hearing from my lawyers. There's a bunch of other cool new features, but I'll make a full video on my Beyond channel soon. Next.js was recently overshadowed, though, by this mildly political tweet from the CEO of Vercel, congratulating President Trump. As a result, many of their customers vowed to shave their heads, move to Canada, and stop using Vercel, but they had to abandon that plan when they realized that Tim Cook made a similar tweet and would have to throw away their iPhones to remain morally consistent, and also stop using Instagram and Microsoft products. Another massive win for the JavaScript developer was the release of Dino 2.0. Not only does it make JavaScript development less painful, but most importantly, it makes me feel superior to my Node.js friends. That's a joke, of course. I don't have any friends. If you want to go deep into Dino, check out the full course on Fireship.io. One awesome tool you can use in it, though, is Towry, which just released version 2.0. It's a cross-platform tool that allows you to build desktop and mobile applications with front-end JavaScript tooling, but unlike similar frameworks like Electron, which is notorious for being morbidly obese, a Towry app can build a native binary weighing as little as 600 kilobytes. Historically, it's been used to build desktop apps, but in version 2.0, it has much better support for iOS and Android, including hot module replacement during development, so your code changes are reflected instantly in mobile emulators. Definitely an awesome tool to check out, but but one of the most popular cross-platform mobile app tools out there is Flutter. Flutter just got forked into a new project called Flock. Flutter is maintained by Google and is used by over 1 million developers, but there's only an estimated 50 engineers on the Flutter team, and they're not merging all these pull requests fast enough. The guy behind the fork, Matt Carroll, was formerly on the Flutter team, but became frustrated with this labor shortage and created a fork where they can just get things done faster. But one of the most impressive things to happen recently in the programming world is the ability to run AAA games on M1 Macs, thanks to Asahi Linux, which is a special Linux distro that can run on Apple Silicon. Most AAA games are x86 binaries that run on Windows and do rendering with DirectX, and that means getting games to run on the ARM-based Apple Silicon is a pretty incredible achievement. It requires a complex stack that includes FEX to emulate x86 on ARM, Wine to translate Windows to Linux, and DXVK to translate DirectX to Vulkan. Vulkan has a cross-platform API that can work on both Windows and Linux, whereas DirectX can only work on Windows. Somehow they actually got everything to work, and you can play games like The Witcher and Cyberpunk on a MacBook. That's cool, but the final big win for developers that I want to mention is that JetBrains just announced that its WebStorm and Rider IDEs are now free for personal use. JetBrains arguably makes the best IDEs out there, and if you're an indie developer, you can now use them for free. A better IDE is not going to make you not suck at programming, though. The only way to fix that problem is to learn by doing, and you can start doing that today for free thanks to this video's sponsor, Brilliant, a platform with thousands of hands-on exercises on math, programming, science, and more, where you actually learn by doing. The lessons are concise, fun, and efficient, which means you can see results with just 10 minutes of effort each day. If you're new to programming, my recommendation would be to start with a Thinking in Code course, where you'll not only learn basic syntax universal to most programming languages, but more importantly, how to think like a programmer to solve real-world problems. Give Brilliant a try for free today at brilliant.org/fireship, or scan the QR code to start a 30-day free trial. This has been The Code Report. Thanks for watching, and I will see you in the next one.